Dear ones, for this evening's reading or meditation, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. I desire to read the first 39 verses. 1 Kings chapter 18, the first 39 verses. Ljubavno želim se pročita prve knjige carovima, 18. glava, prvi 39 brojeva. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab went unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal, from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, and unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran around the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." This extent of our reading, let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, the chapter that we have read that was before us could be really looked at as probably one of the most spectacular chapter in all of Scriptures, in how this story is told. And there's much that we can be reminded of in this chapter every time we turn to it, be reminded of the nothingness of a man who relies upon himself, who thinks of himself as anything, and he has to be brought to nothing. And that is really what Elijah had done. We look at Elijah's past, and it was in this chapter that God told Elijah that go and show yourself to Ahab. And it was now that God was going to be able to use Elijah, after Elijah had been at the brook, he had been at the barrel that had gone, the empty barrel that they were fed with, and the brook that had gone dry. He realized he was nothing, and God was everything. And it was upon that realization, dear ones, that the prophet Elijah could be used. It is only upon that realization, my dear brothers and sisters and my dear friends, that we can be used, when we realize our nothingness and God's everything. When we don't have any I in us, but everything is God, our life is centered on Him, and He is our all. He can use us, and He can use us mightily. Maybe not in the fashion as this is written, but mightily in the pulling down of strongholds, the strongholds of sin. What greater thing is there of ugliness in the sight of God than sin? And those things can be pulled down through the realization that I am nothing. I can do nothing of my own self. And we submit and give ourselves over unto God. And then we see, as Elijah saw, as we see in this chapter here, of who God is and what he is capable of doing. And so he asks that Israel is in the midst of a terrible famine. And then now that as the famine progresses, that there's less and less pastures to find for the cattle and so on. And Ahab and his servant Obadiah, who it tells us here is a God-fearing man, one who saved 100 prophets on his own, hid them 50 in one cave and 50 in another, fed them bread and water during a time that Ahab was out to kill them. And so he goes out looking for pasture. Ahab goes out looking for pasture, and Elijah appears on the scene, and Obadiah recognizes him, and he tells him, go tell Ahab, Elijah is here. And we read that Obadiah says, but I'm afraid you're going to disappear just like he has in the past. You're going to disappear, and Ahab's going to come after me then. And he says, go. I'm not going to disappear. Go and tell him Elijah is here. The one who Ahab is after to kill. He sought him everywhere he could, seeking to destroy him. Why? Because he was a man of God. And he didn't like the prophesying that Elijah had done. He didn't like the word of the Lord. He didn't want to hear it. So that he went after the messenger of God. And now Ahab, Elijah hearing from God, go show yourself to Ahab. He goes without fear. Why? Because he knows who God is. And he knows who he is. And he's not afraid. When God tells him to go do something, he's not afraid. There's a mission. There's a purpose. And he's simply given a commandment what to do. Brothers and sisters, we live under the same word of God. We live under the same word of God with clear instructions on how we are to live, what we are to do. Ours is simply to obey. As Elijah is here obeying, that's all we are to do is obey. Don't expect that what I can do, some great thing that I can do. Simply obey. And the great things that will come is victory. Victory over sin and Satan, the world, and peace and joy with God. That is what we are called to. And so, dear ones, as Elijah says, go tell him that Elijah is here. I thought of how Jesus himself said, he spoke of Solomon. He says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He spoke of Jonah. He says, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Well, dear ones, we live on this side of the grave. We live after Jesus had come, and we can see that Jesus' words, behold, a greater than all is here. And we are to listen to him, to obey him, and to follow after him. He is God, as we see written here at the close of our reading. So we see that Obadiah goes to meet Ahab, and he tells him that Elijah's here to meet him, and so Ahab went to meet him. And it is here that he tells him, go gather the people of Israel and come to Mount Carmel. I'm going to meet you there. And bring your 450 prophets of Baal. So he's setting up Ahab. But more than that, dear ones, he's bringing the people together. And he says here that, in our reading, it tells us that God is going to speak to the people. The people who are really a type of people that we can find, hopefully not ourselves in. They're between two opinions. They think that they're serving God, but they're also serving Baal. Because Elijah tells them, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. They were in the position of being what Jesus describes as a despicable point. They're lukewarm. They're lukewarm. They want to serve God. They want to serve Baal. And so what did the people answer? Nothing. Why did they not answer anything? Because they realized that they are serving God in their mind. They think they're serving God, but they also realize that they're serving Baal. They have two opinions. They have two masters. And Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. And so the people are going to be shown who God is. Dear ones, is God, the God that we serve, only our church God? Is he the church God that we come to church to worship and then we forget about him? And then we worship our financial achievements and pursuits. We worship our pride. We worship the things that distract us from this, what Elijah is calling the people of God to. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him then. What does Jesus say? Follow me. We read it last Lord's Day. Take up the cross and follow me. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's no other way. There's no other God. There's nothing that can bring us the joy and the peace that God can. And so we see here that there is a showdown. And it's not really between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, though that's how it is, but deeper than that, it's between Satan and God. And Elijah, as we know the story, as we read it, he calls and bring two bullocks, and he gives the instructions, and we read what had happened, how the people had sought to bring fire down from heaven to consume the altar, and there's nothing. There's silence. They called upon, it says here, they took the bullock which was given and they dressed it. They called on the name of Balaam from morning even until noon. So from early in the morning all the way up to noon, they're saying, oh Baal, hear us. What was the response? No voice. None that answered. Why? Because there's only one God. There was anything that we worship, there's nothing there. There's no answer from it. When we stand before God, there's nothing to turn to. The things that distract us, the things that cause us today to halt between two opinions are nothing. There's nothing there. A deafening silence. No voice, nor any that answered. And so now the theatrics begin. They jump upon the altar. And Elijah mocks them. He tells them, cry louder. He's a God. He might be talking to someone who doesn't hear you. Talk even louder. Exposing the foolishness of looking on to something other than to God for anything. He is pursuing. Maybe he's on a vacation somewhere. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's sleeping. You just need to wake him up. Come on. Get him going. And they cried aloud. They cut themselves with knives, lances. They're bleeding. desperately calling, looking. And isn't that a picture of man when he's looking to something other than God for satisfaction in his life? You look to something and there's nothing there. There's no answer. The deep yearnings of your heart are not going to be fulfilled in anything in this life. The distractions are only going to cause strife and anguish. And it comes to pass at midday was passed. They prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. They spent all day. Try to imagine this. From the morning, noon comes, the heat of the day. When it's the hottest, that's when that fire should be lit, the easiest. And it goes on into the evening sacrifice time. And they're trying and trying, and there's nothing there. He says, there's neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. This is being lukewarm. The people that had gathered to watch, they couldn't answer Elijah because they were lukewarm. But God was merciful. See, God, we have to consider that God knows us and God watches us. And he watches every move that we make, every thought that arises in our hearts. And then we have to consider that despite him knowing us, we ourselves don't know ourselves. We ourselves surprise ourselves often in what we were able to commit or what we were able to do to stray from God. We know that's not the promise we made. We know that's not what we wanted to do, and we do. And we sometimes surprise that we don't surprise God. God foreknows us. He knew, and despite him foreknowing who we are, he loves us. And he loved us so much that he sent his son for us to die for us. So God knows us. And so we have to pray to God that he would reveal ourselves unto us, so that we can realize, as Elijah had realized, that I am nothing and that I need my God. Without him, I can do nothing. And Elijah now says to the people, come here, come near unto me. And they all came near unto him. And they watch as he repairs the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took the 12 stones according to the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And he takes and he builds the altar in the name of the Lord. He makes a trench. He went further than the people. He went far further than what the prophets of Baal had done. He made trenches. He had them fill barrels of water. Four barrels one time, four barrels another time, four barrels, 12 barrels of water, till it consumed the water, consumed the sacrifice, consumed everything around, filled with water. And then he utters a prayer. Dear ones, we see that the prophets of Baal had nothing, that silence. But you know, they had faith. They had a tremendous amount of faith to spend a whole day calling upon Baal. You see, it's not really faith that matters. It's the object of our faith. Because listen to what Elijah does here. He prays. And the prayer is not long. We could say it in about 30 seconds. It's to whom the prayer goes. The recognition of who is being prayed to. And the faith that is attached to it. The faith that goes into the calling upon God. Dear ones, God answers Elijah. He answers you. And he answers me. If my faith in him, again, if my faith is in him and him alone, and I don't have anything to distract me, to give me, to making me halt between two opinions, when I bring my petitions to my Lord that I'm going to doubt what I'm going to pray for and ask for, of course he's not going to answer me. And of course he's not going to answer me if I'm asking amiss. I have to know his will. Oftentimes, we want to do our will, and then we ask God to bless this, which isn't his will at all. And so we do what we want, and we call it his will, and we ask him to bless it. Dear ones, we need to know who God is. The holiness of God, who he is, and what he is asking of us. He is asking of us that we would be humbled before him, recognizing that we are nothing. He is all. And it comes to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and he doesn't say Jacob, he says Israel, because it just says here earlier that he took the 12 stones because he said, Israel, he told Jacob, shall be thy name, because he was speaking to one nation here. He says, let it be known this day, with all of the people there, he says, come near, listen, watch. And he prays a prayer, let it be known, because he wants to show it's not me. It's not Elijah the prophet. This is God. He says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. What did David do when he stood before Goliath? Did he come up there and stand in his power and his might? No, he said, who is this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to be standing up against the armies of the living God? He talked about God, not about himself. His oldest brother mocked him. Who do you think you are? Get away from here. The king mocked him. Goliath mocked him. He was not deterred. Why? He came in the name of the Lord. A little man who Samuel the prophet himself did not recognize, this is going to be the anointed king of Israel. This is the king, the man that you're going to anoint as a king. He didn't recognize it himself. He came in the name of the Lord. Dear ones, when we ask for anything, if we're going to ask it in the name of the Lord, it has to be according to his will. You can't ask for something in the name of the Lord. Whatever we do, can we do what we do in the name of the Lord? If we can't do it in the name of the Lord, then we cannot be doing it. You cannot treat anyone in a way that it cannot be done in the name of the Lord. I was moved by the prayer, as the brother just led us in the prayer. He said that all of us here have a deep, deep desire that everyone present here would one day be in heaven above. Dear ones, if that is my sincere desire for every one of you, when I pray the prayer in the name of the Lord, then I have to treat you in that manner. I can't do differently then. We have to realize what this prayer is. It's a full submission and a full honor and a glory unto God. He says, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am just thy servant. And that I have done all these things according to thy word, at thy word. I did this because you told me to. That's why I can do this so boldly. Dear ones, when we preach the word in our lives, in our everyday living, can we say, this is what the Lord told me to do? This is what God gave me direction to. We can't dismiss this and say, well, we're not going, we don't receive these kind of instructions from God. Oh, we get very clear instructions from God. We just don't want to obey them, perhaps. And then they become murky to us, and then we start questioning them. And then we rely upon, well, I still believe in God, just like the Israelites here did. Now he says, I've done all these things at thy word. Hear me, he says, O Lord, hear me. Again, he says, hear me. That this people, what was the purpose of this? That this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. You are a God of mercy. You are a God of love. You're a God of compassion. You are turning their hearts back again. Dear ones, that's applicable to us today. We hear God's word. He says, come back to me. Come back again. I knew you. I know you. I have foreknown you. No, I don't agree. I am a holy God. I can't agree with what you're doing. But in Christ, you'll find forgiveness. You'll find life. And it says the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. There's a hymn that says that the fire consumes all proud behavior. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, the fire of the Lord comes into our hearts, it's going to take every valley, every ounce of water and make it disappear. All the sin that is in our heart, that holy fire from heaven will consume it all. Dear ones, the submission has to be made. And He will consume it. He will consume it all. And he says, the wood, the stones, the dust, everything, and licked up the water that was in the trenches, everything was consumed. Nothing was left. Dear ones, that's who our God is. That's the power that He has. And that's the power that we have over our sin when we submit unto Him and come to Him as nobodies, not pretending. None of this self-pitying pride. No. In a full understanding, as Elijah prays, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that everything that I have done, these things have been done at thy word. Dear ones, you know what that means? This chapter is about false religions. False religions need to be decried. False religions are not to be put up with, tolerated, looked upon, winked at. Well, that's their faith. No, that faith doesn't take them anywhere. That faith will give them the answers that these 450 prophets received. Nothing. No answer. Silence. It is up to us as Elijah did. Yes, up to us. When I say, well, what? Who do you think you are? Well, you know who we are? We are God's children. And we are Elijah isn't here today, but you and I are. We are here. And we are His servants to do His will and to do everything that He asks us to do. To do the things, I'm doing the things that I'm doing because it is thy word. Don't fear what man can do. Don't fear the mocking. Don't fear whatever. We read this past Sunday. I will be ashamed of you if you are ashamed of me. Speak truth. Let God deal with it. Let God be the one. Leave it to Him. Do what you are to do. Elijah did what he was to do. God did the rest. God brought the fire. God did it. Dear ones, we can't expect God to do anything when we speak things that aren't according to His will. What's He going to do when I propagate a false religion? When I propagate, well, it's not so bad. Well, God understands.
God understands what? God understands my heart that I'm weak, but he also understands that I don't want to give it to him because he can make it strong. And so, dear ones, what is the response? This is a response that we all need to have. The people saw it, they fell on their faces. This is what we need to do. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, young men, young ladies, this is what we need to do. Fall on our faces and say, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. May God bless his word upon our hearts this evening, dear brothers, dear sisters, and dear friends, so that we would go forth in the power of the Spirit. But we can only do that when we stand at the brook that runs dry. We can only do that when we stand with the barrel that is empty, when we realize we have nothing to offer. And we listen to him. He empowers. He cleanses. He brings us back. He loves us. May we pray that we would love him in like manner. Amen.
That was a fitting hymn to remind us that just as the fire came down there upon the sacrifice that Elijah had set up, that fire consumed everything, the stone, the waters, the wood, and the sacrifice. And so the fire of God, if we allow it, consumes all that proud behavior, that which is impure, and what God wants to burn away from our hearts and make him to be Lord of our hearts. And so that's the message that we heard this evening, is that God is to be Lord of all. If he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all in our hearts. And so we are to give unto him our all, give unto him our lives, our ambitions, our everything unto him. And he will bless us. God will not share his glory with idols. In Isaiah, God says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give unto another, neither my praise to graven image. He is the Lord. He will not share his glory with idols. And so that reminds us now of the first of the Ten Commandments, and I'd like to close with that commandment found in Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. But then here's the beauty of the end of that commandment, where God shows his mercy. And he says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Amen.